Welcome to RC Hangar Time, a podcast dedicated to the radio-controlled aviation hobby, where each week, our hosts discuss everything from airplanes to helicopters and everything in between.
I'm going to bring this thing back in one piece, and I'm not going to do anything dumb.
Well, guess what? Every I have time 3D helis for.
So guess what? Every time I come back, it's in pile of pieces.
But I'm going to be running these 2300 KB motors on 4S.
Say that again. It comes back what?
In pile of pieces.
In a pile of pieces?
Yeah. Yar, comes back in a pile of pieces.
All right, you guys ready?
Let's do it.
All right, this is episode number 51 of RC Hangar Time. We're back this week. Wade and Dustin's with us. They want to go ahead and tell us what they've been up to.
I'll go.
Dustin, go ahead.
All right, cool. Thanks, man. I'm on it.
Do it. Hurry. Go. You're on the clock.
I received my SimpleCopter mini tricopter, I guess. And my daughter opened it up and got really excited. I posted a video up on the Facebook group. And she actually started painting it today. She's going with a pink and black scheme.
Your favorite colors.
Yeah, my favorite colors. So it'll be cool. She's super excited about it. Every day she asks me about it. And I was gone for the weekend on a fishing trip. So today when I got back, she's like, let's paint it. So I'm like, okay. So we started on that. And RC-wise, other than that, just my normal. I took my quads out and flew a little bit over the week. Like we were saying before in the pre-show, I busted them up into a pile of pieces.
Pile of pieces.
That's going to be
the name of the show this week. Pile of pieces.
Took my V-tail out and smashed it into the ground the best I could. Had a good time with that, so...
Who in the hell was that?
Sorry, that was my I didn't mute my phone, so
oh.
I'm all jacked up on Mountain Dew.
Awesome.
That's all I got for the week.
So how about you, Wade?
I've been busy, man. I don't know if you guys saw, I did a little demo reel for the city.
I did see. So,
yeah, I got kind of tired of waiting on this guy. I mean, it's not his fault. He's really busy. He was getting ready for the boat races. They do like the top fuel drag boats and stuff here every year. But the guy that I'm working with is the VP of Economic Development for the city I live in. And I've been waiting for him to, you know, schedule a time. Let's get this together. Let's work up a contract, blah, 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 blah. So I got bored and went out anyways and did some video stuff for him. And all the automatically, because he has like tangible, you know, video now, he's freaking out. He's like, that is so awesome. And he showed it to like the president and all this other crap of the city, and now they're super excited. So because of that, I ended up getting VIP tickets for free to the San Angelo boat races.
I saw that video. That looked awesome.
Yeah, that was sweet.
I was so close to these boats that when they would take off from the start line, we'd get sprayed with water. Like, you can't beat that, man. And I'm deaf, so if I'm yelling, it's because I'm still recovering from it, because it's awesome. So I did that, and then I managed to get some build time in and kind of finalize the big giant Hobby King FPV airplane that I still haven't flown on the new motor.
You're just going to keep that, huh?
Yeah, well, I want to fly it, at least say I've flown it before I get rid of it.
At least crash it once.
Yeah, I mean, it's all EPP, and I painted it gray, so it looks like a freaking UAV, and I'm probably going to fly it over the Air Force base. And
you mean drone?
Yeah, definitely. It's totally a drone. I got to get a t-shirt that says, this shit's a real drone. Screw you, Phantom Flyers.
Nice.
And then I'm going to fly it over the Air Force base and take pictures of the nude leadership and all the missions, and I'm basically just going to wreak havoc with it. I'm going to totally bring this hobby down, because that's, you know, who would ever want this hobby to be clean and fun and professional?
Awesome.
Totally kidding, by the way, people.
Oh, I thought you were for real. Don't you work for the Air Force?
Yes.
Okay.
For the Air Force or with the Air Force?
Yeah, which is it?
I guess it's kind of for. Who paid the bills? Who paid the bills? The Air Force does.
Awesome.
Anyways, that's it.
That's pretty sweet that you got to do that for the city. I actually flew my first gig for Salt Lake City last week too. I got to film Del Taco.
Whoa!
Wow! Did you get any free tacos?
Paid in Mexican food.
I had nothing to do with Del Taco. It was the city, the redevelopment agency of the city. They wanted some aerial views to see how Del Taco messed up the drive-through at their new location. So
yeah. That's kind of awesome. Like they were asking me. They were like, "So, what kind of contract do you want?" I was like, "I don't want a contract. I just want money." You know, and then like. But I can't charge you for flying. I was like, so I'm going to donate my flight time and you can pay me for editing. Ooh. And they were like, nice.
That's nice. Cool.
They even shut down the airport for me. The airport was shut down anyways, but they shut down the airspace so I could get the hex up over the boats. But the weather ended up being shitty or crappy or poopy or whatever you want to call it.
Nice.
How about you, Mike? What'd you do?
Who cares? Well, this is day number 473 of no flying for me.
No fly sticker for you.
All right. Yeah, it's been a while.
Can't crash them.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm thinking here. If I keep at this rate, you know, I can't crash anything. So I'm just sticking with painting stuff for now. Now I finished up the paint job on the Edge profile plane, the Joker and Harley Quinn themed one. I got the backside painted with purple and green and started gluing it together. So hopefully I'll be slapping on some electronics and I'll have something to crash here in the next week or so. I mean,
What kind of foam is it made out of?
It's EPP.
Mm. It's Mike Proof Foam, MPP.
Yeah, exactly.
Foam is spelled with a PH.
Looks good. Foam. I like that scheme.
Thanks. Yeah, I thought it turned out pretty good. Hopefully, once it gets all done and going, it'll look good in the air. We'll see how it looks. I'm kind of concerned about the black and the red, how dark that's going to be. But the bottom side is pretty bright, so should be able to see that side all right.
Yeah, you'll be able to see which side lands on the ground.
Right. I'm just gonna hover it, bottom, you know, bottom side towards my face, and then I'll know which side is what.
Yeah.
But yeah. Other than that, you know, start gluing the Bixler together this week and get that going. And I'm shooting for this weekend because, as you guys know, I called you guys out on the Facebook group for a little video contest.
Yeah.
And. You know, I don't have nothing to fly, so I'm looking. If you guys got something for me to borrow that I can get some video with, that'd be awesome.
What do you want?
Well, send me your hex. Let me borrow your hex.
I got a carbon cub.
A carbon cub?
Yeah, it's only 85 inches. I mean, it's foam.
Yeah, just ship it over.
The only thing I got to say is what kind of guy calls everyone else out and doesn't even have anything to fly?
That's why I gave you till the end of the month so that you guys can get something put out there because you know that I'm going to kill this competition. And you don't. I got something up my sleeve. You guys are going to be in for a surprise.
I doubt it.
You will be in for a surprise. You'll be like, oh, I don't even want to try anymore after seeing this video.
Oh, you don't even know what I've got going on, man. It's going to be the best FPV you've ever seen in your life. Like, this is going to make Team Black Sheep look like a bunch of noobs.
Nice.
No, for real.
Speaking of which, this guy, okay, I forgot, this guy here, Dustin, he literally lives 5 minutes from me. Guess how many times we've been flying?
Once.
Zero.
Yeah, guess how many times I've asked Mike to go fly.
Never. He's never.
You're so full of it, dude. I'm going to start posting screenshots. It's always, I ain't got anything to fly.
He's like, I'm going to the high school park to fly. Why don't you bring your 700 Nitro to come fly at the park with the kids playing soccer?
That's totally legit.
There was no kids there for one, and two, I'm not going to drive an hour's worth of fly time for two minutes of fly time before it gets dark down in Lehigh.
Oh, see, you know what, though? That brings up the cool story. When we went to this freaking place called Booter Park in St. Louis, it's this tiny-ass little flying field, and they say, no turbines. But they're doing an air show, so the guy brings out his turbine F-16, and he almost crashes it into a bunch of little kids playing soccer.
Really?
Oh, yeah. I got it on video.
Nice.
I just never posted it, because I actually like the guy. And I kind of wanted it to hit a kid. Like one of those little shithead kids that nobody likes, you know, that their parents have failed them.
Right.
I'm just kidding. I would never wish that upon anybody. Please don't hate me.
No, I always make sure the fields are empty before I go. I got a couple of backup plans. I got a couple of secrets up my sleeve. But Mike never has anything to fly, so you can't fly with me.
He should just bring a 700 heli out and just throw it up into the air and let it hit the ground. It's about the same shit as what he does now.
Right?
Well, even when it was flying, that was his excuse. He's like, well, I really can't fly my 700 there. And I'm like, okay, well.
He's like, no, seriously, I can't fly my 700 anywhere.
That's about right.
Mike, you're more than welcome to come and watch me fly anytime you want, buddy.
Okay, that sounds like a great time.
Dude, I got the best idea ever. We need to make a hexacopter, a quadcopter, that can do inverted flight.
Ah, dude, that's what I was trying to get across.
There's
the map.
There's already a quadcopter that will do inverted flight.
That's what I was trying to get across to Matt Hall last week, is he should build a frame that we could rip the QX 200 or whatever it is guts out and put it in it.
Yeah.
And have a prone frame.
Why couldn't you just put the guts into a mini V-tail? Why wouldn't that work?
Because it doesn't have the firmware to do the V-tail.
Oh.
I guess you could just straighten out the...
Yeah, straighten out the background.
You could straighten it out back in and make it work. I'm sure we could do that.
Yeah, I'm going to do it.
I'll do it.
That'd be cool.
Maybe I should rip out, since I've got a Y, maybe I should do all E300 tuned propulsion systems and make it a Y6 on a 250mm frame.
Nice.
What props are you going to spin?
Offset 9x9.4s.
3-inch props? 2-inch props?
Well, right now I'm swinging 6x4s.
On your tricopter?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sweet. Right, should we move on to some news?
Yeah.
News.
All right. Who's got some news for us?
Not me.
I've got some news.
Go for it.
So I went to the hobby shop the other day on last Thursday, and I was looking for a pair of C-clip pliers, and I noticed up on the shelf they had a whole line of Fat Shark products. They had receivers, they had pan and tilt camera gear, they had cameras, they had transmitters, they had everything but a set of goggles. And I said to the guy, and I said, hey, what's up? Why are you guys carrying Fat Shark stuff now? And he's like, oh, we had a pair of goggles till last week, but we just got a little bit of it in before we start carrying a bunch of it. And I said, oh, so are you just ordering it? And he's like, no, we can now order all of Fat Shark's products through our Horizon account. So yep. They're getting everything from Horizon Hobby on the shelf in the hobby store now. I was like, awesome.
Which hobby store was this?
That's Vortex.
Awesome.
So I got to look at the pan and tilt setup for the Fat Shark goggle. I got to see the new little mini receiver that Fat Shark sells. I physically got to touch everything before, you know, if I wanted to buy anything, I could physically touch it before, you know, I actually did anything. So that was pretty cool. I was excited that they can now order everything through Horizon, so they're going to start stocking it in their store. So that's one set of news I have. The other piece of news that I have is we're coming up on the second deadline for the interpretation rule open public comment. So I wanted to get that out because it's like 8 days left to comment. There's only been 30,000 comments so far. So if you guys get a chance to get out and comment, write something up. If you haven't done it yet, please do. It's more than just trying to protect the phantom flyaways and the phantom guys flying near the airport. It's really trying to protect our hobby more than anything. So
yeah, we'll add a link to do that.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a no-no.
We'll have to add a link to the show notes for that too.
Yeah, I got stuff for show notes. I got the Horizon Hobby link, so you can see all the products that Horizon now stocks for Fat Shark, and then I have that open interpretation link. So I'll send that.
Sweet.
I got one more thing. I'll share this because it was kind of cool. I was over at the library doing some wireless stuff, and I noticed they had all these magazines on the shelf, and I was talking to one of the librarians and asked him if I could get some of the RC model airplane magazines in so that they could be there and I could get them. And they gave me a website that has a whole bunch of different magazines digitally scanned in on the website. And I was able to check out the Model Airplane News magazine. They have all of this year's scanned and up there. So I'll get some links for that so people can check those out too if they want.
That's awesome.
They had the RC Heli ones. They were a little bit older issues, but the RC Plane News, it was the brand new one, and they had some other stuff. You kind of got to search a little bit hard, but they had the AMA magazine up there and a couple other things. And you don't have to have a library account or anything to look at it. It's all open and out there.
Nice. So, that's awesome.
That's all I got.
I don't have much either. I'll just say that TJ's not here today again. He's still going through knee surgery and stuff, so be on the lookout for another mini cast by TJ this week. Since he's not here, he'll go over the survey results and get that out sometime later this week, probably midweek around, you know, Wednesday, Thursday.
How does he get to work from home all the time and I'm stuck coming into work?
You got to get both your knees replaced, I guess.
Yes.
And then you can stay at home.
I'm beginning to think he doesn't like you.
I'm starting to wonder too. He's been acting a little distant lately.
All right.
Didn't you say he wasn't going to be on tonight because the Colts were playing?
Yeah, I think so.
That's not an excuse.
The Colts are playing right now, and he is a Colts fan. I don't know why, but yeah. But anyway,
right, I got two bits of unrelated news, and they're unrelated to anything to include themselves.
Okay.
So this should be good.
I'm curious to what that means, but
first, I'd like to say, bear down. As I don't know if any of you guys watched the football game last night between the Bears and the 49ers, but the 49ers got embarrassed. That is all.
Yes, they did.
I'm not going to say anything else about how badass Jay Cutler was and how awesome the Bears were compared to the crappy 49ers. I'm not going to say any of that.
It's because they got rid of Alex Smith. It all went downhill from there.
All right. And then, just in case you didn't hear, Coca-Cola is bringing back the worst 1990 soda because of the internet. Surge is on its way back.
Really?
Yes. I figured I would do some news, and I didn't have anything RC related except for those two things, which are not at all.
Well, that's very informative, Wade. Thank you.
Wasn't that high caffeinated?
It's a fully loaded citrus soda with carbos.
you know a little bit too much about this stuff.
Let me give you a little history. It was developed under the moniker MDK, or Mountain Dew Killer. It represented everything that was the 90s.
Wow.
$14 for a dozen of 16-ounce cans.
Jeez.
All right, I'll post the
website up. Awesome. Alrighty, should we move on to our main topic?
See.
So we've got a guest with us this week. His name is Jeremiah. He is from Stone Blue Airlines. We're going to add him into the show and talk about his website and what he offers. So let's go ahead and add him in.
I can't wait. Hey guys, I can't wait.
I can't wait either. I'm sorry.
You're listening to RC Hangar Time. Please help support our show by going to rchangartime.com and clicking the donation tab. Your donations help keep the show running each week. And be sure to share this episode on Facebook or your favorite forum. Thank you for your continued support and enjoy the rest of the show.
Jeremiah.
Yeah, it's Jeremiah.
Hey, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks.
So, Jeremiah.
Yeah.
You want to go ahead and give us a little bit of details on Stone Blue Airlines, what it is, and what you do over there?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, let me start from the start or how it happened.
Give us a history of, you know, how it started, how you came up with it, and what you're offering now.
Okay, sure. Well, probably 2.5, almost 3 years ago, I kind of got back into the hobby again. I had kind of dabbled in the RC, I would say maybe 5 or 6 years ago, pretty heavily, and then kind of just got out of it. Things changed. My interest in the hobby kind of waned, and had some less than favorable interactions with some local clubs, and just kind of just turned me off to the whole hobby. And so I kind of just put things aside, and I really enjoyed it. I was self-taught. I kind of just got the bug randomly and was like, I watched some videos and decided, you know what, I'm just going to do this. I'm going to figure out how to do it, buy what I need to do, do my research, and teach myself how to fly. And I did. And after a number of years of doing it, I really enjoyed it. And then, you know, like I was saying, kind of the clubs kind of shut my interest down because I was the only guy flying electric.
Yeah. Mm.
And, so kind of got out of it, and then honestly, flight test and then experimental airlines kind of gave me a jump start. I got back in and happened upon Ed's channel, loved what he was doing with some foam board stuff, and then came across flight test and was like, holy cow. I said, you know, this is just, there's a change to the hobby right now, and I liked where it was going, and I kind of wanted to be a part of it. So I got back into building, and man, it's taken a total different turn, because shortly thereafter, I met Alex Grieve with Video Aerial. People know him as Ivy Crazy. Him and I hooked up, and I had just started researching FPV. I've run a video production company, a photography company for, honestly, the last almost 15 years. And so that stuff runs in my blood. And I was like, oh, man, I could be a pilot, throw this stuff on, and I don't have to go and spend, you know, 50, 60 grand to be a real pilot. I can be a quasi FPV pilot, fun, if not more. And so, yeah, I was talking with him the other day. I said, you know, I blame you. I blame you for all of this nonsense now, right?
Nice.
So it's great. Yeah, I mean, from there, we got hooked up. I got FPV rigs, and I just started learning what it was, how to set it up. And Alex was a great, was a good teacher, you know, with all that. He pushed me, and since then I pushed myself, and, you know, went from us just hanging out, having some fun, and then me starting to record videos and wanted to post my videos. And so I started posting them up. People kind of started following, so I started posting some more, changing the format, and kind of doing what I would do on my own time from a production standpoint. And then I got with Alex, and we were talking, saying, I know you did kind of a success in FPV series. I said, why don't we reproduce those, you know, in the free time that you and I don't have? Let's go ahead and do those. And, you know, see if it can help. Because for me, what I think I've done over the last number of years with my own business is I take kind of stuff that's a mess and try to just clean it up and make it so it's easier to understand. And in FPV, I don't think FPV is extremely complicated. It's just that if you have 25 choices, it becomes complicated. But when it's narrowed down to the two that you really need, it becomes uncomplicated. And that's kind of where honestly, Stone Blue Airlines has become between our reviews. You know, it's fun flight videos on YouTube. It's reviews, but it's real. You know, if I dump a plane over and we have an issue, we don't just edit it out. You know, I'm not interested in being a perfect pilot. We all crash. We all have incidents. Things happen. I'm really just going for, hey, stuff happens. This is kind of real life. This is what we do, and this is what we love. And then just recently, I'm very excited. I mean, for almost a year and a half, I've been in development for our website, and you know, working late hours, long nights. And I launched Stone Blue Airlines probably about 6 months ago as an education site, resource links. All the success in the E-Series Alex and I did together, and then worked on graphics and just stuff to simplify the FPV process so more people could understand and be educated, because a lot of people are getting into it, but a lot of people do not understand what they're doing, and that's what hurts the hobby. So the easier for me to hand something off to somebody and say, hey, you know, watch this over the weekend, get educated on the hobby. And, you know, and then let's talk about your rig, not before. You tell me when you understand some of the basic technology, and then I said, then we'll get, you know, picking you out a rig. Because, you know, there's just so many people that have no experience whatsoever in RC now that think they can just do FPV. And the case is, you really need to be educated on it. And then through that, people have asked so much about, hey, what gear is best? What do you use? What, you know, what should I run on this or run on that rig? And that's where Stone Blue Airlines, the hangar, came into being, and that's now our retail store. So we launched, we're now live almost 2 weeks. It was a soft launch, still working out a few bugs, but the idea is that FPV can be made simple. And the simple part is that I'm doing reviews, we're doing testing. We're bringing in the gear that's proven and works. You know, you're not going to see 35 choices of the same item. You're probably going to see one or two. That's it. Because that's probably all that's out there that you probably should look at. So we're trying to simplify it, bring it to a pro level, so that ultimately guys that are spending their money spend it, you know, once over, get some good gear. And when they come back, they're just looking to add on to another plane or another system, or they crashed hard, you know, that kind of deal. So it's exciting. It really is. And the hobby's great. FPV is a blast. I thoroughly enjoy it.
Where are you located at?
I'm in Central Virginia.
Okay.
So right up on the East Coast. We're a couple miles from DC and from DC, and then a couple hours from the beach on the East Coast. So right in the heart of Central Virginia, beautiful country, but lots of trees.
By Richmond?
Yeah, we're about 2 hours from Richmond, Lynchburg. Oh, okay.
Yeah, I know. That's right by like Blacksburg and Virginia Tech and all that stuff.
Yeah, we're close there. Yeah, we've been to some meets and stuff where the Blacksburg guys from Virginia Tech come down. They have a neat UAS program, and we're doing some stuff. We're hosting a big FPV fly-in right now. It's short notice. We got about 5 weeks out, but we got clearance to host it at the Wise. In Wise, Virginia, at the Lonesome Pine Airport. Beautiful location, right on top of a mountain, and it's a big chunk of land to fly in. Big chunk of land. So we just got cleared for the FPV show. It's called the Flying Circus FPV Festival. And, just excited about it. It's just kind of last minute, but at the same time, you know, you need 5 or 6 weeks to figure out if you can come or not. You know, it's either come or don't come. We're open you know, FPV line of sight pilots. We're going to have multi-rotor aircraft combat. You know, I mean, just we're doing a little bit of everything, and ultimately just hang out, have a good time. And if you don't know anything about FPV, it's a chance to learn, you know, because you can, you know, meet with us, hang out at the booth. Video Aerial will be there to talk about antennas and frequencies and, you know, everything tech on that end. And we'll have gear and it's just going to be a fun time. You guys can camp out at the airport, RV or tent, and there's food nearby. We got food vendors coming in, and should just be a great spot. We're right on the East Coast, so we're kind of smack dab between the guys that are north of us or south of us. So we hope to draw a nice crowd.
Yeah, that would be cool.
Yeah, sounds cool.
Yeah, if it was closer, I'd definitely like to make that.
Yeah, we if you've been on the Facebook page, all the info's on there. And we in the store, the hangar side, once you go through there, we've got a listing for it too. So guys can start purchasing tickets. Those went live today.
Yeah, I'm looking at that right now. It currently says back ordered.
It does. We're trying to, you know, like I said, we've only been live for 2 weeks. So here we go. We're live for 2 weeks, and then we're pushing code and figuring out stuff that we haven't even done. So some of the stuff in there, we've got it set up so guys can pick their frequency, pick their shirt size. For $30 to come to the event, that covers a retail shirt that we sell for $20. And then basically the little bit of money left over is just going into some signage and stuff that hopefully we can destroy at the event, like balloons, banners, and signs, and all that fun stuff. So yeah, it says back order, but you basically just place an order. It'll go through all the same because you're technically not placing an order. We hope to fix that bug shortly here, but we got it live today because that's what's most important is we get people coming through and yeah. I start to get a head count. We've also got discounts for staying at a Best Western close by. It's a small mining town, and what I like too is it's a couple hours away from where we are, but you know, it's a little back, you know, these little towns kind of in the backwoods of you know, whatever area we live in. You know, these are towns that honestly used to really keep things thriving. It's a coal town. And so as things have slowed down, they're looking at different ways to bring revenue in. But what's neat is the airport is very friendly towards FPV, UAS technology. Virginia Tech and UVA actually have a kind of a satellite school down there. So they've got a lot of neat stuff going on. And also NASA. Too has a satellite location down there. So there's some cool stuff. They're hosting a warbird fly-in, I think, 2 weeks from now. And then they'll have our FPV event 3 weeks after that.
Nice.
Cool.
You're busy.
Yes. I would say it's, what, 9:55? I started almost 12 hours ago working, and here we are now. So yeah, I'm excited. I mean, I hope my hours start to lessen a little bit, but right now it's important just to get the site up, let guys know that we're here, and you know, we've had a lot of interest for the site to go live for a long time. And it's funny, I think everybody thinks you just magically grab an item, order a few products, and they magically show up online. If they did, I tell you what, I think if I could figure that out, I'd make a million on it. We are individually photographing all the items, categorizing. We are putting terminology and video reviews and stuff linked up. So when guys go to make a choice on a product, it's not just looking at the product and a crappy photo, but it's a great photo. They can see it, and they can see maybe a review with it. My feedback or our groups, you know, our thoughts on something, you know, that kind of thing. So make an educated decision and know why it's in my store.
Yeah, that's awesome. I was just looking at the website myself, and I was just looking at the flinch that you have. That's a pretty cool little flying wing. I'm interested in a small flying wing that'll carry FPV gear, and that one looks pretty awesome.
It's a fantastic one. Actually, just this evening, we finished a maiden on one. We did the first flinch with what we call our V-spec, the vector installed. So went out this evening, and it is just a beautiful flying little wing with our set.
What does the vector mean? You mean that'll hover?
No. Yeah, the Eagle Tree Systems vector, the OSD, RTH, and autopilot full system, right. We did it install. You know, it's beautiful. It really is. We have a bunch on order right now. We had a bunch come in. They sold so fast. And then I think I've got 30 on order right now, and almost half of them are already sold already. The vector is probably one of our favorite systems right now for installs. And we're doing these pro builds. You know, a lot of guys have limited time to build and even more limited time to fly. So it's like, okay, do I want to build for 12 hours or do I want to fly for two right now?
So okay. on the pricing on that flinch, is that just for the aircraft or does that include the build price?
No. The price there is just the kit, just the EPP kit. You'll see pretty much everything other than the Ranger. Everything I stock is an EPP aircraft. Of course, wings, the video aerial system side. Then we've got the Flinch, which is another beautiful aircraft from Sweep Wings. The Flinch, a little 37-inch wing, again, we just did a full custom build out. It is the EPP kit. It's the full, you know, laminate, spars, everything you basically need to build up the airframe. And then in the site, you'll see recommended motors, recommended prop size. So, I get this all the time, is guys buy stuff, and they're buying from other places. And then they're contacting me and going, what do I put in this? What do I put in this? I said, the manufacturer should be telling you that, or they just don't know, you know. And then you've got shops that, you know, they give you 90 different options on motors, and then guys are buying way too small or way too big, and, you know, all kinds of problems. What we're doing is we're just testing it all out ahead of time and going, hey, this is the motor to get with this kit. If you don't want to get it, no problem. But if you want to have good results on this Flinch tonight, no joke, it's cruising at a quarter throttle.
Really?
Quarter throttle, and I can just cruise and also climb out. At half throttle, it's almost doing vertical.
Wow.
Yeah, so, I mean, it'd be nice to have a one-stop shop, because, you know, even if you do get a recommendation, gosh, you know, it's usually so broad that you're like, well, I could buy these 15 motors or this, you know, these 15 ESCs. It's nice to have a one-stop shop, and this is how it should run, and then see it fly on that setup.
You know, I think about it from, like, you know, whether it's cars or, you know, I was into mountain biking, I've been into snowboarding. You know, what I want when I go into a store or when I go in to talk to somebody is hopefully that they're educated on the product they have, and they're giving me a recommendation based on what they've used, how they've used it, and what the results are. And I think that's one of the biggest things that I think is lacking in this hobby, is that what we have is forums with a bunch of guys trying a ton of different stuff. Now, some of them have sorted some great stuff out and we need it, but a lot of it is guys getting in and going, I have no idea which one to pick. Exactly like what you're saying. I don't know what to get. There's too many choices. Here we're saying, hey, we've got a motor. It's perfectly fit for this. That's it. It just works. We're running Cobra. Cobra is a great, great motor. We've been real happy with their brand, and then we're also running stuff from Emax that we've just found to be a good, reasonable quality motor, and lots of torque, nice run times. And, you know, to me, I'm not trying to overkill on these. They just need to be matched to the aircraft properly so that you get, you know, you get the performance and you get a fun flight out of it. Yeah, you can always slap whatever you got on there, but if you're not running the right gear, it really does change how the aircraft flies, and we want you to have a good experience. So,
well, I know that I'm happy that everything was there, because I just placed an order on your site tonight, and it was just easy to get to. I need ESCs, I need motors, I need everything, and it was there. So it's really nice.
Yeah, that's great. No, and I appreciate it. Thanks for your support too with what we're doing. Tried to make it very logical in the way things are broken down in the site, as far as how you find gear, how you look for it, and where they're kind of categorized. You know, again, we're still dropping product in. Today, between working on stuff for the upcoming show, I think we only got a couple items in. Tomorrow, a few more things will show up. You know, but each week we're dropping about, you know, 10 to 15 new items in. But again, it's stuff that is tested or will work, or, you know, for a specific purpose, whether, you know, it's a simple basic charger that you can, you know, throw in your pocket and just take on a quick road trip with the family out of town and take a small aircraft where you don't want to haul a lot of stuff. You know, those are the kind of things where I'm like, I've got a family, I've got kids, I know what it's like, you know, to have to build, you know, in the wee hours of the morning and kind of fill in. And that's why doing some of this stuff is for the guys that they don't have the time to invest hours and hours in it, but they want good gear and they want to know what they're getting is going to be a good product.
Right.
The custom builds, I was just going to touch on that. Our custom building right now, we're out five builds. We're doing five Spectre builds, most of them featuring a Vector installed in there as well. So we call it the V-Spec. With the Spectre, and again with those, it's honestly, I would say, better than most guys are building. I have a fantastic builder that is working with Stone Blue Airlines, Matt, and he's been featured a number of times. Great guy to have on, and he is just a fantastic builder. And he's behind these beautiful builds that are coming out. They're honestly impeccable. We made that flinch tonight right out of the hands. I needed a little bit of trim, and then seriously, it was dialed in where he was like, are you fine with the vector stabilizer? I'm like, nope. I said, that's lying. You know, just nothing. I said, it's just trimmed, and it's fine.
Nice.
So that's kind of the stuff we're all about right now. So those take a little bit longer, and we do them a couple different ways. You know, basic, just build, send you a kit, you drop everything in, or we can made, fly it, test it, the whole nine yards.
That's awesome.
So, Jeremiah, how are you guys planning on growing? I know I ordered some stuff from you 2 weeks ago, and we had a little bit of a hang-up on the website with my zip code, but I sent you the email. I didn't expect to get anything, you know, but an email back, and next thing you know, you're on the phone calling me, you know, trying to resolve my problems. I know that's probably not going to be realistic for you in the future to handle every single call, but how are you guys planning on growing?
Right now it's growing slow. It's one step at a time. I am not interested in stepping outside of honestly what I'm comfortable with when it comes to support. And as each product goes in, like I said, each thing that gets put in the store has got some care and thought behind it. You know, like we ran into the issue, you know, just like where you see if when you go to the store, it says, hey, we're still in the process of stocking. If you see something or you don't see something you're looking for, if we see an error, let us know. That is important. I want to hear from guys because it's as much your store as it is mine. And I'm building this not just for me, but for everybody who comes to the store. And so what I hope is that we'll just be a different experience for guys honestly going and shopping around, and that it's going to grow slow. You know, I'm not, like I said, I'm not going to add every product under the sun because I don't think we need it. And I think there's a lot of stuff out there, specifically FPV, that makes the hobby more complicated than it needs to be, and it makes it less fun. When we go out and fly, sometimes my most, you know, the most fun that we have is, I was flying my Spectre just the other day, my old V2, it's 2.5 years old, it's been through many, many wrecks. I've got a basic on-screen display, which I didn't even have when I first started. I don't need a lot. I mean, honestly, I've got different systems, but what I go to is something that will fly and will fly almost every time I want to fly it. And that's what I'm trying to set up too through the store, is that guys get gear that will work. Because it's no fun getting out to the field and going, darn it, I got to spend an hour getting my RTH working and this and that. You know, have a plane that's bare bones and simple and fun to fly like a Spectre. Then have something that's, you know, way more complicated, a little bit more fun, longer range. But as we grow, we will grow slowly. And honestly, I hope I can stay in touch with these guys, because I'm interested to be the voice and the face behind it, because I think that's what matters. I think a lot of people get disconnected from it, and you don't really know who's running anything anymore.
Yeah, that's awesome.
That's kind of what I like. You know, when you go to the hobby shop, you got someone face to face, you can talk to them, you know, you can kind of shoot the breeze, you can ask a couple of questions. But when you get into stuff like this, like FPV and you know, a little more specialized, I mean, you're not really going to find that at a hobby shop. And if you do find something at a hobby shop, you're not going to find somebody knowledgeable. So that's what I really, you know, thought was way cool about being able to talk to you on the phone. And I know that's not going to be the case every time, but, you know, that was cool. I got to ask you a couple of questions. Hey, this is my experience with what I have. Do you think what I'm going to be buying is going to fix my problem? You know, I got a real, you know, experienced explanation of what my problem was. And, you know, I was stoked about getting my stuff in the mail. And you don't get that from online shops all the time.
Yeah, and I think that is the difference with, hopefully, with what the experience will be, is that, you know, I've got guys that call or ask questions or email and stuff, and I'm going to point them to the Stone Blue Airlines site, hit the pre-flight. That's what that is all about. For guys that are just asking a lot of questions, I'm like, they probably haven't done any research, and so I try to get them there first. Say, just take your time, go through it. Get a little bit more knowledge under your belt. And then I said, hit me back up. I can answer all the questions for you. But if the questions are from a standpoint of like, you just want me to tell you how to do everything, that's not the right way to do it. You need to have a little bit of knowledge under your belt. And then I can give you suggestions, because you still have to make a choice. You're the pilot. You have to make a choice you know, where you're flying, who you're flying with. That's usually the first thing. Okay, are you flying alone? Okay, no, I'm flying with two or three other guys. Well, do they have FPV yet? No. Okay, great. So usually my first thing is, hey, get this frequency, because once you're on it, they can't get it. You know, go ahead and lock down the good stuff before your buddies find it, you know. It is that side of things where it's just, you know, get educated on it. But I've tried to make it so that, guys, it's easy to get to the resources, find the information, and then from there, yeah, shoot me a question. If you're like, hey, I don't know, what would the best option? Fantastic. I love that. Hey, here's the three items we sell that I really recommend because they just work and they'll work well together. Go that route and you should be golden with your setup. But, you know, guys ask, it's funny, the first thing people get into FPV, they're like, how far does that thing fly? How far can you go? How high can you go?
Yes.
You know, it kind of depends on what you're planning to do with it, what your setup is, because a lot of people can get FPV stuff and barely make it across a football field, you know, and then the same system with the right antennas, the right setup can go miles.
Yeah. So I haven't really looked too much into the site yet. I just looked at the aircrafts that you had. Now, yeah. A lot of places like, you know, Ready Made RC, they sell like FPV kits. Do you have a kit that for a specific frequency, say 1.3, that will have everything in it? Say the camera, the receiver, etc.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, we were working on those today. We're selling the RTF FPV kits from Video Aerial. It's basically a pre-tested system on 1.3 and 2.3.
Okay.
And those are both popular frequencies. 2.3, 2.4, you know, not used as much. It's a great band. A lot of people that, honestly, if you're flying in a group and you're looking for a band to go to, that's a good one if somebody's already on 1.3. So, yeah, the system will be a camera. It'll be transmitter. It'll be receiver. It'll be a link board. It'll be, you know, set up. So basically you pull it out of the box. You either power it with an accessory battery or drop it in line into your, you know, system power. And honestly, within an hour, basically just if you want to bury it in, probably 15 minutes, if you were, you know, just wanted to tape it all on, you could put it on an aircraft and get some FPV video going. I wouldn't advise doing it that fast, but system, they run around 275. Doesn't include goggles, doesn't include, you know, video screen or anything, but it's the bare FPV system that's tested, and it's all hand-built by pilots.
Awesome.
What kind of antenna systems are you looking at as far as, are you just going to go with basic whips? Are you going to go with anything specialized because it's your...
The RTF FPV kits, again, is a starter. So most people starting out, my recommendation is this, the whips. Whips are fantastic. Right. Honestly, we were out. There's a stigma even behind whips of going, well, I need to have something better. Sure, there is always something better, but a whip, we were out 3 miles on a whip, two whips. That's it, you know. And it's amazing. You can get fantastic range on them. Again, setup is key. Above and beyond that, I personally fly with a crosshair. I fly with a crosshair on the ground. Most of our, you know, our group does. Alex, my buddy Jason, all of us pretty much fly on some kind of a crosshair. And then a helical is another great option. Crosshair, again, is on 1.3 and 2.4. You're not going to get that on 5.8 yet. Pepperbox, you know, some of those are coming too. The helicals, 3-turn and 5-turn, are a great option too on those frequency bands. But we start with just a blue beam whip set. It's pretty much all you need to get flying. And for general FPV, you know, for guys that are just starting out, that are not worried about like long range. And I've got guys, you know, that are like, hey, long range a mile. I'm like, to be honest, you'll probably hit a mile on your third or fourth flight because it's that easy to do.
Yeah.
You know, a mile's not that far FPV. It really isn't.
No, not at all.
I ran 1.3 on whips and never had an issue. I didn't run any long range systems. I just was running on 2.4, and I always ran out of transmitter frequency before I ran out of video.
Yeah.
So I never had any issues with whips.
Yeah, and then there you go. And then to match with that, then you go with the UHF system. You know, we're really excited. We're working with Immersion RC, and I am moving my entire system over to their UHF. I did some just basic range testing and flying yesterday on the Immersion JR module. Does I think on the low end, I think it's like 150 milliwatts, sorry, and then 500 on the top end. And, you know, I was out over a mile on low and no issues, which I definitely shouldn't have had. But, you know, on a new system, anytime you do that, it's a little scary because you're kind of testing everything, seeing how it works. I don't run any stock antennas normally on my aircraft. I run always the video area system dipoles. You know, specifically if you're doing 433, it's a nice upgrade, better video, radio control when you do the dipoles. And the immersion stuff, it's nice. It's simple. It's easy to hook up. And I like how you can program it. And okay. I like ease of use.
So are you using a specific preferred transmitter and like Taranis, or are you using anything that you prefer over anything else?
Yeah, making the move to Taranis, I've been on the 9XR, and that was honestly before the whole store and stuff got kind of going, and as I started doing some research, and I will blame my buddy Matt for this. He got a Taranis, and, you know, we've done some comparisons and stuff. I've got a 9XR Pro here, and we've used it, and I honestly don't have anything against it. I've used it for quite a long time. It's not failed me, my regular 9XR. You know, you can update it and mod it. I don't think there's anything wrong with that radio. But as I was looking at different stuff to bring in the store and what I wanted to stock and carry, 9XR wasn't where I wanted to go with it. I wanted something a little bit more solid. I like that Taranis. I have options with cases. I don't know, it just can be customized. I like customization, and so I went ahead and got one in, and I flew with it just yesterday for the first time. Plus, I like it.
Yeah. Now, what would somebody do in my case? Say I just spent a hoop of money on a good aircraft transmitter like my DX9?
Yeah.
How would I go ahead and go about, like, what would I need to hook up and get my long-range system going on?
Well, first I would say, why did you go with Spectrum? No.
I knew it. That's the reason I asked the question, because I wanted to see how that went.
It's funny. I started on Spectrum. I don't have anything really against them. I mean, it's all preference. It really is. You know, radio, in my opinion, in most respect, is a radio. It's just a matter of the functionality, how easy it is to use, how easy it is to hook stuff up to. That is kind of the big functionality thing that you're going to run in. That particular radio, I haven't really done a whole lot with. I think it's got Futaba and JR connections on the back, if I recall right. And so you're going to have to go with something that's not a JR module compatible radio, because it doesn't have that. It's not really set up to allow you to do that. Personally, I'd sell it. If it was okay. Me, I just go ahead and put it up and, you know, get a Taranis on order. I have two coming in. So. a guy was supposed to snag one tonight. They should be in, I think, this week. Three of them already sold. We're ordering them in small batches.
Better buy it, Wade.
Yeah, dude. We're bringing them in small batches. Not much time for us to get them in, but it costs a little bit more to bring them in small groups. But where most places don't have the Plus, we're bringing them in. So for a couple bucks more, you can have a Plus. And honestly, it's a really nice radio. What I love is the three-position switch setup. If you're running Vector, what's cool on that radio that you can use with the Vector is one three-position switch allows you to basically go for... I have it set for nothing, absolutely nothing. Then I do a 2D hold, then, 2D and then 2D hold. And then what it does is it puts it in an auxiliary position, and then you run it to the next three-position switch so that it toggles the next one. So basically you get six positions with two switch uses, where on the 9XR we've got one three-position and one two. So we end up having, we end up losing out enough. You know, it's just a nice radio. I really do like the Trannis. Only couple little things that I would say I wish they would have put a Futaba port on the back, just because not everybody's got a JR plug. Futaba is pretty well recognized, but as far as hooking stuff up, I mean, I've already tested my modules, including even share. I can plug everything in, and you can program, let's say if you want to fly some line of sight aircraft, 2-4 stuff. Well, you program one radio set of one plane to be 2-4, and then your next model that you're going to run with your JR module or Easy UHF or whatever, you set it so it'll fire up your Easy UHF that's plugged in, and it'll shut it down when you're flying on 2-4.
Oh, see, that's nice.
Yeah, it is. It's really cool. And I'm just kind of at the point where, again, simple, I want to fly. I really just want to fly right now, and I'd rather get to a field, have something work, and not have to fiddle with it. You know? Because when you go out, I'd rather fly for 2 hours than fiddle for 2 hours and watch everybody else fly.
Right. So, and I mean, I just like spending a whole bunch of money for what I could totally spend on cheaper. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I, like I said, I'm going to keep my Spectrum. I'm a Spectrum fanboy. I get crap for it all the time. And I really was curious about going UHF because I have an FPV airplane ready to go. I'm just, I know that I'm going to want to push it until I lose radio signal.
So well, you will on that. You'll lose your aircraft. If you push it hard on that, you're not going to get the range that the FR Sky stuff is. You're going to want to move to a long range, period. Yeah. I mean, if you're on 5.8 video and 2.4 control, you'll have video farther than you'll have control. And the bad thing is you will get a lockout, and the lockouts just takes too long to come back on that frequency band, you know, where you're just waiting for it, and then next thing you know, it's in the ground. And then you got control. So you, FPV, you fly low, and then the other thing is flying behind stuff, shooting through things, having enough power to do so. I'm not saying you can't do it. It's just that you have to know your limitations with it. Right. You know, I just hit some of the forums and see kind of what's set up on those. I know guys are doing it, so I think it's just a matter of either a JR connection or – does that one run a Futaba?
No.
It's either – it's kind of weird because there's two ports in the back. Yeah. But I think one of them is actually headphones.
Yeah, one is audio. The other is it's an eighth inch mono jack.
Gotcha.
But so are you interested at all in carrying like Dragonlink products at all to help those guys? Like, I'm sorry, but I'm just not ready to give up my Spectrum radio either.
Yeah.
I wireless buddy box my kids. You know, I got a million receivers around. I'm not saying that I wouldn't, but. You know, what about us guys who aren't ready to let go yet?
If it works, just stay with it. You know, again, I'm not really a fanboy of any particular thing. If it works, it works. And then, you know, to me, that's what sells me on stuff being consistent. It just needs to work. I mean, my non-XR, I had no reason to change. But what I was finding is some of the functionality, even with their new Pro, it doesn't make sense to me why they didn't add some more three-position switches. People have been talking about it. Just add them.
Yeah, and so I got plenty of those on my DX9.
yeah, exactly. I think it's range and where you're going with it. Ease of use, adding modules, you know, hooking stuff up. You know you can mod it or change it and get it working. That's not an issue. So if you go with an LRS system, you know, you're good to go. Okay. I would say, you know, if you're flying a lot of line of sight stuff, then keep it for that. You know, for guys, I don't hardly fly line of sight. I really don't. Other than when I'm testing stuff, pretty much if I'm out at the field, I'm flying FPV. I mean, we usually go out, we are flying FPV. Now I'm going to set up an aircraft coming up that I'm going to probably try to just keep line of sight more something scale. It's not that I'm against it. It's just that when I go out, I really just want to fly FPV. So my radio system needs to be built around what I'm doing.
Right.
And I'm FPVing. You know, that's just where I'm going with it. And that radio was extremely smooth. You know how it is, though. It's weird. You get used to your radio, used to gimbals, used to all that stuff, used to the programming. I had this radio. I was like, oh, okay, it's changing. I'm trying to figure stuff out. I'm like 3 days into using it. I'm like, okay, I know where that is. Okay. You know, it's just a matter of time, change stuff over. But the cost, you really can't beat the radio cost, a nice case, and the functionality of being able to drop in modules in the back and just keep it simple.
Does it talk to you?
It does.
Yeah,
I thought I had you.
I need to work on that. I'm a James Bond fan, so I think I need to have like Moneypenny or some voices on there, you know. If I can get stuff working right on there, yeah, so it greets me when I turn it on.
Yeah, my buddy Andy's trying to get his Tranis to play the BYU fight song every time he turns it on. It's like, man.
Yeah,
no.
You're gonna love that.
There's cool stuff. There's definitely cool stuff. I mean, I'm just was hunting around looking at the DX9, and there's some cool mods. I mean, a lot of guys are messing with changing colors and, you know, anodizing stuff, and like that kind of stuff's cool. I'd like to get the front of my radio covered. I haven't been able to find somebody to dip it though in a blue carbon. I think that would match the Stone Blue Airlines brand well. So we'll see if that can happen.
Nice.
All right, I got one last question, then I'll be done.
Sure.
Are you a Hokies fan?
Am I a Hokies fan? No, I'm not. I'm not a UB fan. I'm not a Tech fan. I honestly could care less about any of it.
All right, I guess I'll still shop.
I don't mind. I mean, it is funny here. We lived in Charlottesville before Lynchburg, and you know. UVA, sure. I've gone to games and stuff that way, but, you know, was never really connected with it. And to be honest, I'd rather fly for 3 hours than watch a game for 3 hours. So
I wish I could do both.
I'm thankful. I'm like, sometimes I'm like, wow, you know, guys that watch college ball and all this stuff. I'm like, now that is a hobby that sucks up time. You know, I mean, it's just a lot of hours in front of the tube. I'd rather be outside hanging out in the nice weather doing some flying with my buddies, but I have nothing against it. It's awesome. Whatever you
enjoy. This nice weather you speak of, what is this?
Right.
We've had a little bit lately. We've had a lot of rain this year, though.
I was actually born in Virginia. I was born in Chesapeake, and
okay.
I live in Texas now due to the military shipping me around at its will.
Gotcha.
Basically made me its bitch, if you will, and it's just... Yeah, I need to go back to like some decent weather because I'm about to die here.
Well, we've had a lot of rain, but over the last couple of days, it's cooled off really nice. I mean, yesterday's flying, literally hardly a breeze. It was cool out. I was like, I mean, hands off. You're like flying a plane for almost a mile with hands off. It'll just fly. You know, the wind's not knocking around. I mean, like those are the perfect days to go out in FPV. And so it was nice. We were just out goofing around, having some fun, testing out my buddy's kind of new completed Chimera, doing almost 60 miles an hour climbing at least maybe a 60-degree angle. I mean, it was like it was almost climbing straight up, doing 60 miles an hour with our setup.
Wow.
Awesome. Wow. Yeah. Elevation was not an issue with that aircraft. He was able to climb very quickly.
See, I'm running right now. I've got the it's the huge like 1.8 meter junky Hobby King FPV plane that's like all you know, it's all EPP foam.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
The one that turns really horrible.
What's going on over there? Dance
what
party?
Was that?
What was that? Was that's my favorite song. It came on my iPod. I'm sorry.
What is it? The Hobby King EPP?
Yeah, the EPP 1.8. This thing is a turd. It is so heavy, and I mean, I wanted it because it was cheap and it's, you know, something to get started into the FPV realm. You know,
right.
Besides multi rotors, because that's really all I'm used to is multi rotors and line of sight like scale aircraft. Okay. And I'm running like a 1300 watt motor on it with a 3-bladed prop, and it's ridiculous.
I've seen those. Yeah, I've seen them online and. It looked like a good concept, but it looked, yeah, extremely porky. Just looked like it would be a very heavy beast to get off the ground based on, you know, the setup for it. The Ranger, we're pretty impressed with the Ranger and what it's able to do based on kind of how it's designed and everything. The Ranger's a cool little aircraft. You know, on the lines of something like that, feels more scale. They definitely fly different, you know. we were actually FPVing a P-51 Mustang yesterday. And, you know, talk about a plane that you wouldn't think would be FPV'd. That thing is stable in the air, absolutely beautiful. And just, it's really cool. So I got one. I'm just sitting around. I got to do some repairs on it. And I wanted at the recent FPV flying. So I think I might do some repairs, slap some FPV gear on it, and just have a big warbird scale in the air. And we'll do a little tandem flying. It's just neat. It's neat what aircraft you can FPV. Some don't work so well. You just need to pick something that's stable. That's the biggest thing. If you can fly it really well line of sight, you probably need to dull the rates down a little bit, but it should be very stable for FPV. If it's, you know, kind of all over the place line of sight, it could be even worse FPV that way, because you just, a lot of guys get in and it's way too much control surface. It's just all over the place.
Well, you've changed my mind. I'm going to transfer everything over to my Carbon Cub.
Hey, seriously, yeah, that is. I mean, they can be fun. We were just that flying over the last weekend that RMRC put on was a lot of fun. And there was a guy, I think, yeah, with a Carbon Cub. Man, he was tearing up the sky with that thing with some FPV gear on it. He was having a blast, you know? You know, and he's like, yeah, I get kind of made fun of with it. I'm like, who cares? I'm like, dude, you're tearing it up out there. I don't care what, you know, if you have a blast flying it, that's what it's about. You know, this is not a competition.
Right, exactly.
Fly what you want, have fun, just be safe.
Awesome.
Keyword, safe.
Yep.
Cool. Should we wrap this show up?
Yeah, man, it was a good show. I had a blast.
Yeah, I want to thank Jeremiah for coming on the show and talking to us about Stone Blue Airlines. It was good having you on and some good information.
Thanks, man. I really appreciate it. Thanks for having me on. It's nice chatting with you guys. And, always happy to help whenever I can with gear and keeping guys educated. So thanks for following what we're doing, too.
No problem. Cool, we'll send everybody we know over to StoneBlueAirlines.com.
Thanks,
guys. Thank you very much for tuning into this week's episode of RC Hangar Time. Remember to help spread the word. You can find us on the web at www.rchangertime.com or just do a Facebook search for RC Hangar Time. We enjoyed having you. We just hope you enjoyed being had. And remember, have fun, be safe out there. We look forward to seeing you again next week.